This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. There's a name that's synonymous with class in college football. A guy that took a middle-of-the-pack team back to national powerhouse status, and he did it in a way that made other schools, mired in scandal, downright envious. When Mack Brown stepped down as coach of the Texas Longhorns, he was the second winningest in school history with a national title under his belt. And then there's the other Mack Brown, the off-field tactician who recruits for nonprofits. Coach Brown, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me on.
I don't think many of our listeners know that you and your wife were sort of instrumental in starting a preschool. What's the Rise School, and what's your interest in preschool?
David, when Sally and I got married, she felt like that, especially with my position, we should give back and give back to the community, and I agreed. In so many cases, coaches get so busy and they get so focused that you don't look outside your office or outside your team. And really and truly, the powerful position that you have in coaching, you need to reach out and help some other people. So we played in the Gator Bowl when I was at North Carolina as the head coach against Gene Stallings. His son, Johnny, had Down syndrome. He was in his 40s. And we spent the entire week with Johnny and Coach Stallings. And it was just a wonderful relationship. And Coach Stallings started the Rise School of Tuscaloosa. And at that time, there wasn't one in Chapel Hill. And we actually were thinking about it, and we leave. And then there's a Rise School in Dallas. There's a Rise School in Houston. But there's not a place in Austin 17 years ago that can help kids that aren't normally developing with preschool.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the Rise School, because I don't think a lot of people listening to us know what the special responsibility is.
Yes, it's a very unique concept in that you have kids that aren't normally developing mm-hmm. with kids that are. A lot of times it's brother, sister, it's siblings, but at other times it's just a school that's maybe two-thirds the a third normally developing and, mm-hmm. and two-thirds that are not. And a large majority are with Down syndrome. And what it does, it's a school that teaches these kids, teaches the normally developing kids to be able to work in the household with a child that might be different than them.
Right, right.
It also reaches out and helps the young person that's not normal in developing learn in the early stages of his life so he might can get more in the mainstream of life when he gets out. But we thought even more so, David, that it helps parents and grandparents cope with something that's different in their life. And we have a niece that's autistic, and Sally's brother and his wife got divorced because it's very difficult with the change and coping with it every day. It changes everything you are and what you do. So it's been so wonderful for us to watch the growth of the school. They moved around from church to church and had to take all their furniture and pack it up every weekend for church services, bring it back out. And these teachers have just been phenomenal. But now to see the school with its own building and people have been so giving to give to the cause. Sally and I are very, very proud of all that the Rise School stands for now. And so many families and countless stories that have come to us and said our lives are better, Coach, because of the people that have put so much into having this program and have it move forward.
That's a wonderful thing. Something else that you've been involved with, and this did get a little bit more press, I think, was this partnership with musician Jack Ingram and Matt McConaughey, the actor, who's also a rabid Longhorn fan. What is MJ&M?
MJ&M stands for Mac, Jack, and McConaughey. And one night, probably 4 years ago, Jack Ingram, who I didn't know very well, who's a very accomplished country music star, had a number one hit at one time, and he's headed back up the charts now. Yeah. He texted me at 1 o'clock one night, and he said, my dad went to the Willie Darrell over in the Woodlands before it was the Ben Willie Darrell. And he said, I got a hat. And he texted to me. He said, why don't we do something like that? And then I texted him back and said, well, let's think about it. And we talked to Ben. We talked to Willie. We talked to Miss Edith and Coach. And they said, that'd be great because Coach got tired and didn't want to continue to do it. So what we tried to do then is we decided, Sally and I knew Matthew really well. And we thought with his star power, it would give us all an opportunity to give back to Austin with one huge event that was fun because all of us were doing so many different things and different events. We looked up one spring, David, and trying to do your job, and we were home 5 nights in the spring
right.
and just tired. So it was really affecting more than just fundraising.
Sure,
It was affecting your job. So, again, Sally and I thought about it. Let's do one big one. Jack, right after we were talking about it, happened to send the text. We got Matthew involved, and we have had an absolute blast. It has been so much fun, and it's golf. It's a fashion show for the ladies. It's
you got a big event coming up with Toby Keith here pretty soon.
We've got Little Big Town and Toby Keith on Thursday night, the 16th of April, which will be a knockout. I can't even imagine. I love music, and I love country music, and just to give the treat of these two to Austin will be fun. And then on Friday night, we've got Jimmy Kimmel coming in to host all the great songwriters in the United States.
That's wonderful.
And Jack Ingram. So it's just going to be so much fun. It'll be two wonderful nights. And the fashion show is unbelievable for the ladies. They just walk out of there every year saying it's one of the best fashion shows in the country. So it's been, we wanted something that was fun for everybody, and at the same time would really help all the causes that the three of us are involved with. And we're also involved with Heart Gift, which brings kids from overseas over and gives them a heart to save their life free. And we put them up and get them in great shape. And another charity called Duchenne that's a muscular dystrophy disease that affects young boys more than young girls. And basically, David, they have a lifespan of the early 20s. And it affects their muscles so much that they just can't continue to grow. So we're trying to get research to find out why, so we can help these kids have a better life. And Matthew and Jack also have, Matthew's got JK and L, his foundation, and
he helps
a lot of kids that don't have as much money. And now Jack's involved with Dell Hospital. So there's a lot of things that we're doing that are really cool.
I'm kind of surprised you have time to do anything else. I mean, what do you, when you just have downtime, Mac Brown time, what is that?
Well, it's usually fishing, playing golf, or playing with grandkids, because now we have six grandkids, and two of them are in town, two are in L.A., and you and I just talked about our daughter Barbara, who is a faculty member here at the University of Texas and just went to Charlottesville. And she took two grandchildren with her. So we don't mind the kids leaving, but they ought to leave the grandkids for us to play
That's
with.
Right,
but
yeah.
For all the parents out there that are wondering what's ahead for them, being a grandparent's much better than being a parent. And in fact, if I'd have known this, I would have skipped the parent stage and just been a grandparent.
I was surprised to learn that, yes, you're on Twitter, and in a lot of ways, who's not these days with social media being what it is, but you actually are involved. You don't have someone who's sort of ghostwriting for you on Twitter. You're there, and you're expressing your own opinions. Why'd you fall in with Twitter?
Well, David, when you're recruiting and you're 62 years old, I guess, the last time I coached, is you're sitting there and you want to stay in touch with the kids in so many different ways. And DeLoss Dodds and I talked about it. Do we let the kids stay on Facebook and Twitter, and are they going to get in trouble? Yes. Are they going to make poor decisions? Yes. They're going to say some stupid things? Yes. Because
sure,
we used to just say it to our buddy, and now when you say it, it's out there for everybody in the world to see. So everybody's in the media business now, because whatever you tweet is public information. It can get you in trouble. But we thought that it's here, and it's here to stay. So we wanted to help teach our student athletes how to use it, because their kids are going to have something. It won't be called this, probably, but it's all moving with Vine and Instagram, and everything's moving so fast. So I had what I put on Twitter would go to Facebook, because a lot of the recruits are on Facebook and some are on Twitter. And then when I signed up with ESPN and ABC last year, they said, I said, do you want me to stay on it? And they said, we'd love for you to have a presence with the fans.
Wow.
And I can answer questions for them. You know, some are rude, and they're going to be that way. I wish people would use social media for good and for positive and for upbeat, but we got people that are negative in the world. And mine has been, by and large, very, very positive. And if not, I learned how to block very easily and very quickly.
Yeah.
If it's something racial or vulgar or demeaning to women, I'm gonna get it off and get it off fast.
I mean, I think a lot of people think that there's no responsibility, you know, when you just put something out there and you don't have to own up to those words.
Yeah, I think so. And to me, there is, obviously. And boy, when I started, I'd misspell words, and now I'm having to learn how to put the hashtag on. I'm really into this.
You
got to
watch out for the spell check. That's the thing.
Spell check will get you too.
Yeah.
It can do that, but
right,
it is fun. And It's something that also Facebook. I've been able to keep up with all the ex-players at Texas.
And, oh, that's cool.
And Tulane and North Carolina. So I didn't have time before. Mm-hmm. And that's something that being out of coaching, we worried about. One of the things you miss are your players, your team, your staff. Yeah. And with Facebook, you can keep in touch with all of them.
Well, in fact, we've been hearing from some of our listeners who sent in tweets to Texas Standard. Would you be willing to take a couple of questions?
Sure.
This one, and I should say that we've been hearing from folks like Shayna Lamore and Sam Torres, among the many, expressing just simple gratitude for your years as coach. A lot of players say that you made a big difference in their lives. C.T. Harvey, a listener, C.T. Harvey asks, was there a player that made a big difference in your life?
Oh, gosh, David, that's one of the trouble with questions like that. When you've coached 30 years as a head coach and another 12 as an assistant coach, there's so many. And so many stories, and just time and time again, what you learn. I would think that probably I learned as much from Ricky Williams and Vince Young here at Texas as anybody when I got here. And at North Carolina, the kids couldn't wear dreadlocks, and Ricky had them, and he came to me and said, if you let me wear dreadlocks, I'm going to stay. If not, coach, I'm probably going to go to the NFL. And I said, well, and one of the assistants sitting behind me said, watch the video before you decide, because he's really good. And I said, I got it. So I said, tell him, just give me a reason that you wear it. And he said, I talked to your North Carolina guys, and they say you don't like it because it might hurt you get a job, hurt you in the job market when you get out. And mm-hmm. some people in the hiring process don't like dreadlocks. And this was 17 years ago. And he said, Coach, why don't you learn to look inside and quit worrying about what a person looks like outside? And you just need to learn who the person is and learn from that. And very honestly, we did. And Coach Royal and I ended up putting a wig on with dreadlocks before the last game when he won the Heisman, too. And but Ricky taught us a lot of things like that. Vince has overcome so much, even with his financial problems in the NFL. He took so much criticism here before he won 30 and lost 2. And people forgot. They said he could never play quarterback, and he wasn't smart enough to play quarterback, and he would never be a great college quarterback. I remember all those days. And then he goes to the pros, and he's in 2 or 3 Pro Bowls. He takes them to the playoffs, and everybody said he was a complete flop. So, and then he's had financial trouble, but he's back working for the university. He's doing so many positive things. And you learn from kids like that. And there are thousands of stories, David, that I could tell, Selvin Youngs, and I can just go through time and time again what some of these young people have overcome to get where they are today, and I'm so proud of them. It's just amazing.
Leticia Anna, who tweets us from New York City, asks, did you know, you mentioned Vince Young, did you know Vince Young would score on that fourth down against USC?
You know, I thought he would. We're sitting there, and it's 4th and 5.
This is the Rose Bowl.
This is the Rose Bowl in 2005 team, 2006 Rose Bowl. In fact, it was January 4th, my mother's birthday, 2006, wow. So I can remember that for sure. But we had complete momentum of the game at that time. We had we were down with 6:42 left in the game. We were down by 12. We had two of our best players.
What was on the clock again?
6:42. Not that I remember. And so we go right down and score with Vince, and then we have to have a stop. And I remember Vince going to the defensive huddle and said, just one stop, man, and we win the national championship. One stop. And we go back and make the stop on 4th and whatever, less than 2, whatever it was. People call it 2. I think it was about 6 inches, it seemed like. And it's a great play by our defense, and then all of a sudden we get it going. You got to make the first down on that last drive, and there's a short pass on 3rd down out to Quan Cosby. And they get a face mask penalty, and it's an automatic first down. And from there, we go down and score. And on the 4th and 5, there's about 26 seconds left, I think, at that time. And obviously, if we don't make it, the game's over. They take a knee. But we told Vince, we've got 4 guys going out. Look quick. If they're not there, you're good with your feet. And that's exactly what he did. He glanced to look at the slants and the throws that we had, and he didn't like what he saw. But he had such a gift of not only making the yards, but of seeing the hole and having the instincts. And they had a zone blitz from the backside, and it was not contained, and he felt it. He saw it. He ran in. And where I was so proud of that football team, David, not only does he score, he doesn't showboat. He doesn't get us a penalty because we've got to go for 2 because we're only up by 1, and they've got the great kicker. He hands the ball to the official. That was a mature team. They all go back to the huddle. We call a quarterback draw, which was not a very good call against the defense they've had, but that we actually forced them by lining up so quickly to call a timeout and use their last timeout because they had 12 on the field. So that was a significant play in the game. And then Vince runs over about two behind Selvin Young to score, and then the rest is history.
It's not just history. I mean, the truth is, and I know I'm not alone here, I remember downloading the highlights from that game and watching that sequence over and over and over again. And it's sort of been an inspiration. Do you watch that ever? Or did you just put that in the history book, say that was then?
No, if it comes on Longhorn Network and I hear about it, I'll flip over there and see. And of course, I've got 19 videos of it at the house. And I was sitting there one night at 2 at night about 6-8 years ago watching it in the spring. And Sally said, you know you don't have to wait. You've got a video. You could see it in the morning. But it is one of the best college football games ever, and we're so proud for Texas fans and the state of Texas that I don't think there hadn't been a national championship around here in this state for so many years, and we were so proud to bring it back to this state.
Good Lord, I can't imagine what it would have been like to be in your shoes with your heart racing and soaring at the same time.
You know, it's like you working. Everybody's asked me, I showed no emotion on the sideline, and they said, why? And I said, you know, I'm just thinking about the two-point play. I had to be ahead of the game, and I was thinking about no penalties, and I was thinking about how do we kick off? Do we squib it? Do we sky it? Do we try to kick it deep? They got Reggie Bush returning it, so it's not like the game's over.
Right.
And then they've got the timeout. What are they going to do? They're going to throw deep. What will Leinart try to do to get them in field goal range? We had to go back and make sure how accurate their field goal kicker was, from what distance. And so there were a lot of things on my mind. And even when the game's over, it's chaos. You got to find Pete Carroll and be respectful. Then you got to go to your band and your fans and sing the Eyes of Texas. Then you got to go back with John Saunders, who weirdly enough I work with now at ABC.
Right.
And you got to be on the a stage in front of millions of people and
imagine.
He asks you a question. Then you got to have a reasonable answer. And
So you're just mentally shifting gears.
You are. And then you go in, you've got your team sitting there looking at you like, what about this, coach? Isn't this cool? And so you got to manage all of that, and then you got to try to keep them out of trouble that night. And then you've got to go the next morning after no sleep. You got to talk to the president. You got to try to plan a trip to the White House. And then there's 6 trophy ceremonies the next day, which I didn't even realize. And all of that's really cool, but then when you get back, you got Vince going to the NFL, you got recruiting issues, uh-huh. you got to start over, and so it never stops.
Well, this is an interesting question from Sean, from John Lawrence, who tweets that over the past couple of years, was there anything that you would have done differently?
John, there's always things as you go back that you would have done differently, and at the same time, I never second guess myself because with the information I had available, I did what I thought was best at that time. Where we really got in trouble is at quarterback. We were so good through Vince's time. He was 30-2. And then I think Colt was like 45-7. He was the winningest quarterback in college football history. And then Garrett Gilbert came in and had the good run at the Rose Bowl with Alabama for another national championship. And you just wish Colt had been healthy that day. So we all could have seen what would have happened with our older guy. And Garrett did a great job. He came in and gave us a chance. And then it just didn't work for Garrett and us for whatever reason. He's a great kid. He's still with the NFL. He's on the practice squad, I think, with the Patriots. And thank goodness for him. He got to go to a Super Bowl and get a ring this year. He did well at SMU. But after that, then David Ash couldn't stay healthy.
Right, sure.
Colt McCoy had his issues with – I mean, Case McCoy had his issues with health. And we never were consistent at quarterback. And yeah. And what happens is when you've got a great quarterback, everybody else plays up to him. If you're struggling at quarterback, and the problem we had, John, is sometimes we would look good. And then other times it's like we just weren't playing at quarterback and we got really spoiled there and the fans get spoiled. 9 wins isn't enough. And so I feel like if I get back in coaching, what I would do is sign about 5 quarterbacks a year instead of 1. And, and David, there's so many stories about you didn't get this quarterback.
Yeah,
you didn't
right.
get
sure,
that quarterback.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And really there's a story for each one of them that I'm not going to sit here and tell because it's not really anybody's business.
But do you
business.
Think that you would ever sit down and write out that book that sort of that tell-all that it sort of takes people behind the scenes? Because I know there are a lot of folks who really want to know that. I mean, you're the Elvis of Longhorn Nation. Come
well,
on.
Well, I'm actually making notes right now for a book, and I don't know when or what, but all the people that have written books about their career say, make notes while it's fresh on your mind. Uh-huh. And obviously, all of those quarterback situations will be addressed for people who are wondering about it. Because the sad thing, and I'm in your business now, but in your business and my business with the media, we're at a point now, and Twitter sure has not helped it, where there's so much misinformation out there.
Right.
And people tell a story that they think might have some possibilities of being true, and then it just grows. And at the end of my career here, there was so much misinformation out there that I got tired of even trying to defend it because it wasn't worth it. And you just move forward and go with what you've got and not worry about it.
Coach, I have to ask one more question. This one's from me. As you think about how in the long term you would like to think of your own legacy, is it more in the coaching sphere or is it more in all the charitable work that you do? Where would you like to think of, this is where I made my mark?
I would think, David, I haven't put a lot of thought into that. Number one, everybody always said, well, I know he wants to have a great legacy. I know he wants to beat Coach Royal's record. And back to me, it's better for me not to have coached long enough to beat Coach Royal's record because I admired him. Oh, yeah, I admired Coach so much. I mean, Coach Royal's the guy here. There'll never be another legendary coach like Coach Royal at the University of Texas, and we don't need one. One's enough.
There are a lot of people who would argue about that.
Well, but I loved him. It's one of the dear losses of my life. He helped me so much, but he was fun. He's like an older brother to me, and I enjoyed him being at practice and being around, and he took complicated things and made them simple for me. And I talked too much to the media one day after a loss, and I was all over the place and about half mad. And he called me that night and said, bad game, huh? I said, yes, sir, it was a bad game. He said, yeah. Didn't have much fun with the media today, did you, boy? And I said, no, sir, I didn't. And he said, well, let me tell you something I learned. He said, I had a lot of bad games. And he said, I learned that they're going to blame you anyway, so blame yourself. And really, the less you have to say, the less you have to take back. So why don't you just say, I stunk, I did a poor job. If the players win, give them the credit. If the team loses, you take all the heat and just move on with it. And that's what it was. But I would think if my name's mentioned in conjunction with Texas football in the future, I would think that our staff left it better than we found it. The place in general, the facilities, the money, the national brand is much better now than it was 17 years ago. And we did it the right way. We didn't break any rules. We were never in any scandal of any kind. And because of that, we were able to reach out and help some people in the community with their charities.
Mack Brown, forever coach, thank you so much for stopping in. It's been a real honor to get the chance to say hello to you.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me on.
I'm David Brown of the Texas Standard.